Good morning and welcome to worship. We're glad that you're here. We're here to lift up the Lord, experience His presence together, encourage one another, and respond to His leading in our lives. So as we gather for worship this morning, let's begin with the Lord's Prayer, which you'll find on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to worship you once again in freedom. We are grateful for your blessings on our lives, for how you've brought us through this past week. We know that you are at work, even in the situations that seem so challenging and daunting in these days. And so we want to praise you and thank you for all that you do for us. But today we're here to honor you, to worship you, to glorify you for who you are. You are the God who made this world and us, and we owe you everything. So today, may we lift you up, may we make your praise glorious this morning. And as we do sing and pray and speak today in your name, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come and move in us, shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be, that the world needs us to be during this hour. And we ask all of this in Jesus' very powerful name. Amen. All right, at this time, we will sing.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we want to go to prayer, and at this time, we would normally receive our tithes and offerings. We will have a way for you to give before you go today if you're here in person. Those of you who are watching online, there are several ways to give. If you're on our Facebook page, we have a donate button there. If you go to our church website, fairmeadow.faithlifesites.com, you can also click the Give Today button there. And also on the Church Online platform, there is a Give button as well. So all of these ways are great ways to give, to support our ministry, and to put the Lord first in all things. But as we pray, we want to pray for our nation and our world, still battling this virus. Cases are surging everywhere, including locally. In our county, we've regularly had days right at or just below 200 new cases per day. And the hospitals are starting to see the numbers rise from people who have been admitted for COVID treatment. So it's a time to be careful. And we may have to be flexible in the weeks coming up with the colder weather. It may possibly be the case that we have to go to just online. So stay tuned to learn the latest of what we're doing. But we just pray for God to work, for the vaccine to come, for everyone to be wise and cautious and careful in how they live, to protect others, and to be wise with their own health as well. We're grateful that a number of people have come through procedures and other things recently and have better health. Ellen's dad, some of you know, if you're on the Facebook page, was in the hospital this week. She was able to go home to see him yesterday and bring him home from the hospital. And now she made it back late last night, so she's dragging a little bit today. But we're glad that he's doing better and improving. And he might even be watching online right now. But we want to continue to pray for his health. And we want to pray for our church, for us to keep growing and moving forward in faith during this time, not thinking that everything is on hold in life, but realizing we can still bless, we can still serve, we can still be disciples of Jesus even in these days. And of course, our country has a big decision to make, and we as Christians have a role in this process, yes, to vote, but also to be the kind of people who love and reach out to everyone. So with all these things in mind, let's come before the throne of grace this morning. Our Heavenly Father, what you have given to us in Jesus is a gift that we are still unpacking. It is a love that is so great, it's beyond our ability to understand, that you would come into our world and take upon yourself all that we deal with every day, and then take upon yourself all of the sins that we have committed, and absorbing them and all the violence that the world had to pour out, absorbing it all, and then becoming victorious through resurrection, and offering to us new life, forgiveness, peace, salvation, and then the opportunity to grow in you, to have the wounds of our lives healed, to have the broken places, Lord, fixed, to have everything in our lives, Lord, be bathed in your love and in your truth, that we could become people like Jesus, who could live in the world in the way of Jesus and follow the truth of Jesus and experience the life of Jesus. And Father, you did all of this for us so that the good news could continue to spread through us to those around. And so this morning, we just want to say thank you for all of that. And we want you to help us, Lord, to lean in to all that you have for us, that we would be your people. And Father, we pray for our country. Lord, we have a big decision to make. There are a lot of opinions flying around about what we should do and some think we must do. But Lord, help us to know that our nation and our world and our lives are in your hands. And that, yes, these decisions are important. But Lord, nothing that happens will surprise you or make you unable to help us. And so I just pray that our trust and our faith in you will overcome our concerns about the outcome. But we do pray for our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones, that all of us, Lord, will keep our wits about us and to continue to answer that call to love our neighbor as ourselves, even as we try to walk, Lord, in a way that is loving you with all that we are. I just pray that you will hold us all together during this time and surprise us with what you can do in and through our lives. You are such a faithful God. You are not going to abandon us now. And so we give thanks again for that this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'll touch those of our number who are sick or not feeling well, those who are having to watch online because of work or because they're homebound. Just let your presence flow to them where they are, and may they be filled with the comfort of your Holy Spirit, but also the strength and energy that only your Spirit can give. And Father, help us to be faithful disciples, and help us in this hour to listen to your voice and respond to your leading. And may you be glorified and pleased as we continue in worship. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, at this time, please turn your attention to God's word. We're going to be back in the Gospel of Matthew today, still in chapter 22. And we'll be beginning our reading at verse 34. So let's stand in honor of God's word today. It's becoming sort of a tag team event here. And it begins again another showdown in verse 34. So open your heart to the word of the Lord. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. So they were testing Jesus. The Sadducees had failed in their attempt to trap Jesus, so now the Pharisees stepped up to the plate. It kind of reminds me of that Bugs Bunny cartoon. Anybody Bugs Bunny fans out there? I'm showing my age, sorry. But I remember the baseball cartoon. Remember that one? The big epic baseball episode of Bugs Bunny. And he had the slow ball, right, when he would pitch. And it was so slow as it was coming through. The whole team stood up to bat. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Struck out the side with one pitch, did Bugs Bunny. And so this was kind of like that. And the arrogance of testing Jesus is pretty amazing. Amazingly stupid, that is. And they soon regret it. But in verse 35 and 36, it said, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, wouldn't you know it, a lawyer? No, just kidding. Different kind of lawyer here. Basically, it's an Old Testament scholar or teacher. But this wasn't a freshman biblical studies class, so kind of a dumb question. He was going toe-to-toe with someone he was not worthy to quiz. In verse 7, it says, Jesus answered him, this is over in Matthew 4:7, sorry. It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now this man, granted, didn't realize that's what he was doing, but in a very real sense, he was. He could have and should have known more about who Jesus was by this point. But Jesus replies to him in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That means giving God your full attention, your full love, and your full engagement. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus is saying, if you want to understand the whole Old Testament, then understand these two commandments. And he's also saying, if you want to know what God wants from human beings, here it is in a nutshell. Now the Pharisee thought that he had built a trap for Jesus. He was trying to ask what he thought would be an impossible question, especially since he thought Jesus was just some podunk preacher from a podunk town who wouldn't have any idea about such matters. But Jesus had studied the scriptures enough, and more importantly, he knew the heart of the Father enough to break it down in this simple form. And Jesus is saying that we are to love God above all else in life. And there is to be no greater love than the love that we give back to the God who has loved us first. But he's also saying that we can't just be pious and inwardly focused. We're also called to let that holy love flow through us to those around us, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this morning, do we love our neighbor? Some people are easier to get along with than others, that's true. Some people hold grudges. None of us are perfect. But as Christians, we're not to hold grudges. We are to be open to reconciling with others in all situations. And Paul even goes further in Romans 12:18. He said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wow. I'm glad he said, if it's possible, because some people won't let you. But as far as it depends on you. That means the role that we play in relationships is if something happens, we try to reach out and to fix it. Now, it's not easy because we human beings can be fickle. I don't know if you've noticed that. But sometimes we think we're being sensible when we're not. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Don't raise your hand. But Christians can't just say to the world, that's just the way I am, so deal with it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cut yourself some slack every now and then, so Jesus is asking us to do the same for our neighbor. And this is a fine line, so walk it carefully. Don't give yourself excuses for being rude, but do take time to rest when you're overly tired. If you're sick, stay home. Not everything is meant to be shared, like illness or offhand criticisms. We can keep these things to ourselves, and it's just fine. But Jesus presents us with a very high calling here. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's a perfect answer. Simple words to live by. Words with more than enough challenge for all of us. But also, these are words of hope to us because it means it is possible for us to love God with all that we are. It is possible for us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's good news in a broken world. With God, good things are possible, and love is possible. Amen? So now these guys were about to get a taste of their own medicine because they were getting tested by Jesus, and they didn't know and they hadn't studied for this quiz. He handles their question with a brilliant answer, but then he also quickly turns the table on them. It was traditional to say that the Messiah would be the son of David, who fulfills the promise of a son who would rule forever. And that was true. So nobody could be taken seriously claiming to be the Messiah if they weren't from the house and line of David. But Jesus knows that this is only part of the story. There's more to who the Messiah is, and it's right there in the same scriptures. So in verse 43, he said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'" Well, you would have heard the sound of silence in that moment because they didn't have a clue. Or maybe they did, but they didn't dare to say so. Because you see, they very much wanted to keep all concerns focused on the here and now. They wanted to look at the human side of the equation. That's what the leaders were obsessed with during this time. And this is because they wanted to control people and they wanted to control outcomes for their nation. Now understand this. Jesus came to redeem people. And sin will destroy you. And there's nothing a political leader could ever do about that problem. So Jesus wasn't interested in politics. He was not after temporal, here and now, earthly kind of authority. Jesus was here to defeat sin and death and hell. Amen? Some might say Jesus should not have just stood back and let Rome do what they did. He should have intervened. But Jesus instead stood for a false trial and endured a brutal execution. And when John tells the story of Jesus' arrest, when they came to take him away, we see his true authority on display. So in John 18, 4 through 6, it says the following. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with him. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. The great I am was standing before them. And the authority and magnitude of his presence, of merely who he was enough to make a battalion of police and soldiers fall to the ground. That's who Jesus is. So Jesus demonstrates here that there's more to the Messiah that they do not yet understand and that they need to reflect deeply about, and it's such a powerful and important core matter here in Psalm 110, one of their favorite psalms to quote about the Messiah. There was this important and powerful word that they had not thought about. So Jesus not only wins this debate, he wins by a mile. Well, a scholar said the following, "The next occasions when Jesus will meet his opponents will be in the garden when they arrest him, as I mentioned, in the council when they accuse him, and on the cross when they mock him. But each time they will know, and he will know, and we as Matthew's readers will know, that he knows the answer to these questions, and they do not." So Jesus digs deep into who the Messiah is. He's not a topic of theological debate. He's not a king that you can manage upward. Even David looks up to the Messiah, and so should these teachers of the law. At the core of this great command is something human beings were made to do, and that is a simple word: worship. In Matthew 4:10, in that same exchange where Jesus was being tempted by Satan. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And that's right when the devil's trying to get him to crave the earthly power. So this is the big reason I don't carry water for any political candidate. I was in college. I worked on a campaign to get some credit for a class, and the candidate ended up being successful. It all seemed very exciting. I was out there putting signs in yards and going door to door. So when he won, we got invited to a big celebration at a swanky hotel in the suburbs of Kansas City. There we were, hobnobbing with wealthy and much older people. Soft music in the background, really nice hors d'oeuvres, heady stuff. Well, then fast forward to another moment, a moment of disappointment. I'd already supported someone else in politics by that time and believed in them big time. But that all changed rather quickly. And as I was observing the behavior of this person that I had believed in, I remember where I was standing when I realized that politicians will never deliver us, and we should never fully embrace them. It was a sad moment. I was actually in a checkout line, of all places, as this was hitting me. I can still see myself standing there. I'd found myself defending this person and needing them to be right until my emotional well-being was somehow caught up in what was happening in the political career of this person. In that moment, I felt shallow, even ashamed that I had put so much trust in an earthly leader. And some of the innocence of youth faded away in that moment. Maybe my first wrinkle formed, I don't know. I didn't yet understand that it wasn't just about this leader, it was about my relationship to power and politics versus my relationship with God, but the learning had begun. It would take years for it all to sink in, but now I know for sure. Worship the Lord and serve him only can apply very specifically to politics. How easy it is to get caught up in the rush of it and to begin to take the relish off of your love for God because you're feeling it here in the world. How easy to trade the power of God, and why would we ever do that? But how easy to trade the power of God for the power of your viewpoint being in office. Don't fall prey to it. Hold your nose when you vote for anyone and pray for them. Pray they humble themselves and don't get swept away and lose their way, lest we all suffer for it. Believe in God. Trust in God. Vote, yes. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is uniquely God's. Your heart, your soul, your mind. And don't forget to remember to love your neighbor, even in how you vote. And don't forget to keep loving your neighbor after you both vote. Amen? It's a command. We don't get exceptions during election years. Jesus is, in a sense, saying all of this and more to this lawyer. He's hinting that the Messiah isn't your ticket to power. It's your ticket to humility, but also to grace and salvation and true deliverance. So it's obvious now to Matthew's readers and to us, and it may have been becoming obvious to those Pharisees that day, but the true identity of Jesus was he was the Messiah. To so many people, this meant a political hero that would defeat the enemies and put them back in control of their own destiny. So they were not even considering someone like Jesus. They were looking for someone politically connected. That's who the Messiah would be. Someone who saw the world the way the Pharisees did. That's who the Messiah would be. Someone to make Palestine what it used to be, independent and powerful. In their minds, I guess a king was the greatest form that a human being could take. A powerful, regal, elegant king who also had the power of God on his political side. So it was all about keeping the Romans satisfied until this king appeared. But I just wonder if some of them didn't even start to think maybe Caesar was the Messiah. He was giving them a little power. He called himself the Son of God. Oh, I hope none of them were giving in to that kind of thinking. And I certainly hope nobody in our day thinks a candidate or politician is a messianic figure, because they just aren't. There is one Messiah, and it's Jesus. Amen? Jesus is not just a king or a leader. Jesus is more. The Messiah is more than they realized. No earthly leader can foot the bill. So to jump back again into the passage, verse 41 through 45, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord?" Are you tracking with that so far? David calls the Messiah Lord. For he says, "The Lord said to my Lord." What he means there is, "Yahweh said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." If then David calls him Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? They had no answer because they were all focused on a wrong kingdom. It's because one day a unique son of David would also be the Son of God. Therefore, David prophesied, perhaps without fully even being aware of all that this meant. He prophesied that his descendant would also be his Lord. David didn't know about the Trinity. David didn't understand all that was going to unfold, but David did know something about loving God with all your heart. And David knew something about the horrors of sin and God's amazing grace that had worked in his own life. And as he wrote the prophetic poem that we now call Psalm 110, that's what Jesus was quoting, he gave us the secret to understand what power-hungry Pharisees never can. And that is that Jesus is Lord. So let's say that together. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of life, Lord over death, the Lord who defeated sin, the risen Lord who conquered the grave, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega, and that's A to Z if you're scoring at home. He was there in the beginning, and he will still be reigning long after the end. Let that truth be freeing to you this morning. Let the Spirit search your heart today. If anything competes with your absolute trust in Jesus, let it end today. It's not right. It won't lead to peace. It cannot help. It can only hurt. And this morning, if you've been thinking too much about the realm of politics and not enough about letting God reign in every corner of your life, then repent. There's too much at stake. Because if Jesus is Lord, that means Caesar is not. And if Jesus is Lord, you're free to trust him with your very life. Excuse me. John Piper had a quote this week that I felt really went alongside what the Lord was saying to me. The people who do the most good for the greatest number for the longest time, including America, are people who have the aroma of another world with another king. Amen? What enthralls us? What gives us the deepest joy? What makes us the most excited? That's what it means, this call to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Fill your mind with truth and fill your heart with the love you get from engaging with God. And let it flow through you in a way that blesses your neighbor. It's very simple, if we let it be, amen? So let Jesus reign in every area of life. Even in this season, trust him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so grateful for the love that you've shown us in Jesus. But we're also in awe of the power of who he is. How incredible that he came to earth. How amazing that he rose above it all. And Father, I pray that our minds will be lifted up above our concerns about tomorrow. And to have a fresh vision of the kingdom of God breaking forth in the world, rising above all other kingdoms and bringing us all together in peace and in love. And Father, for the judgment of God that will fall one day, Lord, we have to just realize that first we need to let that ring in our own hearts and not just think, yeah, get them, Lord. No, all of us must confess before you that you are Lord. All of us must bow the knee. And we of all know better than anyone who you really are and what we owe to you. And so I pray this morning our response will be thank you. I pray this morning our response will be great love returned to you. And I pray that as you pour into our lives, we will be the kind of people who can truly love our neighbor. And through all of that, Lord, would you work to bring your kingdom. And even through the uncertainty of the days that lie ahead, our faith and our trust will be in you. And we just ask you'll work it all together for the good of those who love you. And may we live according to your purpose. And Father, be with the one this morning who needs to hear this word the most. Just come alongside them, comfort them, and give them the courage to release this area of life to you. And for the one who's been trembling with concern over what may happen, Lord, again, bring your peace that passes all understanding. And may we see you as the strong one going before us, Lord, and bringing us all together in you. So thank you, Lord, for this powerful word from your word. And may it sink deeply into our lives and resonate throughout this week to come. And we ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Again, everyone said, amen. All right, it's been good to be with you this morning. Let's stand together. We want to say the Apostles' Creed before we go. Say it like you really believe it and you're prepared to live it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the love of God. Live your faith in Jesus, who is your Lord. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. What's that?